This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura. And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
Today we're joined by a very special guest. We are excited because we have been a fan.
So excited.
King Noir is a master fetish trainer, artist, award-winning porn performer, and co-owner of Royal Fetish Films. Welcome, King.
What's going on?
This is so exciting.
I think when I said porn performer in your little blurb there, I said like it sounded like I said pork performer. I just want to be clear, it's porn. We're talking
it's
about porn today, guys.
Yeah, we didn't make that clear already.
Yeah,
it is a porn podcast.
Thank you so much for being here.
So exciting. We're going to be talking specifically about wax play, but we wanted just to talk about you a little bit to start with. King, how did you get into sex work?
Oh, wow. I've been a sex worker since I was legally able to do so. When I turned 18, I had a friend. She was a dancer in Philly, and she just kind of was like, hey, these people want to take pictures of me, and I don't want to do it with a stranger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know what you're working with. I know what you're into. Why don't you come make some money with me? And it was way better than what else I was doing at 18 years old. So, you know, that was kind of the start for me. From there, I got into doing private cuckolding sessions and fetish training sessions like BDSM and a lot of that, because I'm from Jersey, so like Jersey and New York didn't have the big filming scene when I first started in the game, you know. So it was more like, what can you do live, you know?
Right.
I've danced at parties. I've done like just about anything you can imagine in sex work. So
yeah, you're a sexually liberated person.
It's who I am. I'm proud and I love what I do.
Amazing. Yeah. So do we.
Yes.
Thank you.
So how did you get into BDSM specifically? Like, when did that kind of happen?
You know, that my BDSM and my different fetishes and kinks, I feel like they've always been there.
Yeah.
You know, like when I think about the things I was into when I first started getting into sex, I was into, you know, like, hey, would you let me tie you up?
Or, okay,
you know, you went to getting spanked, or
yeah.
What you feel about spit? Let's take pictures. You know, like all of these things have been...
They've kind of evolved.
Part of who I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've all been part of who I am since I first was interested in sex.
Yeah.
And then once I got into, you know, after I took those pictures, you know, like my first experience getting paid for sex work, the people who put together the photo shoot actually had people reach out to them like, hey, who's that guy? Do you think he would dominate me and my wife or something, you know, like before. And this was before I knew terminology. This was before I knew like other people were into the shit. So it just kind of unfolded from there.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you really just get your training? I mean, it's interesting to me that you are a master fetish trainer. Would you say that your training was largely through experience, or did you have mentors in the BDSM space that kind of ushered you into the community?
It's been a collection of both. You know, when it comes to learning different tools and instruments, I've definitely learned those things from people who know what they're doing.
Right, yeah.
You know, whether it's like going to classes or actually sitting in on sessions with people, because I didn't even start like flogging people till maybe, I don't know, 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I was at FetCon in St. Pete. And I saw somebody swinging around floggers, and I was like, oh, shit, I studied martial arts for most of my life. Those look like nunchucks, but pleasurable nunchucks.
Yeah.
I need to, I need to know more about this. Yeah. You know, so a bunch of people that were there at FetCon were like, oh, cool, you want to learn? So everybody was just kind of like showing me, teaching me, you know, the anatomy of it, where to strike, where not to strike. And then from there, you know, me and my partner, Jet Setting Jasmine, have just kind of like reached out to other professionals in the industry, or we hired some people for some of our fantasy flight parties to just learn.
Yeah.
And I've just been trying to get as much information as possible, just because it's like you feel like you've experienced something, and then you learn something new. That's what I love about sex, because it's like you learn something new and you're like, I need to know everything I can and experience this in all the ways possible. It's just like something that keeps opening up new parts of your brain.
Totally. Mm.
And that's what I love about like the kink and the fetish aspect of things.
Yeah. You mentioned a background in martial arts when you like that sort of piqued your curiosity around flogging. I had a very brief like flogging training session because I was doing a play where I had to flog someone. But I'm curious to hear like what you think about the similarities between martial arts and BDSM. Like, where does that intersection exist in your experience?
Discipline. Mm. Number one, discipline. And it's not even just the disciplining of somebody else. It's the discipline that you need to have within yourself. A lot of times people just think of like dominance, just running around, just bossing people around and telling people what to do. That's not a dom. That's an asshole. You know what I'm saying?
You nailed it.
You know, like an actual dominant, you know, you have to pay so much attention to your bottom or your submissive's every aspect of being, you know, their breathing, their body language, you know, what they're telling you verbally, but also their nonverbal communication. So like you have to have a discipline and attentiveness to be in that moment. And then also with martial arts, it's like, you know, you train for something that is not going to exactly line up with what your training is. You know, it's about how you adapt your training to whatever that particular situation is. So it's like you do 1,000 kicks forward, but in real life, no one's gonna run at you straight up and just stop and let you kick them, right? It's kind of like the same thing with BDSM. You know, you'll practice with, you know, your dragon tail 1,000 times at hitting one spot, but nobody's body is exactly the same. So you always have to adapt what it is that you're doing to fit the situation, and that's what I love about it.
That's really beautiful the way you talk about it, frankly. Yeah. Like, I've never quite heard it articulated that way, and it's so spot on. It just sounds so correct and, like, resonant with, I think, what good doming and subbing and, like, a healthy BDSM exchange needs.
Right.
Yeah.
Communication.
For sure.
So you own Royal Fetish Films.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which is amazing. Co-own, yes, with your partner. It's been like a huge part of like, you know, representing Black sexuality and Black bodies. Was its inception kind of like because of in response to what happens in the mainstream porn industry?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. With Royal Fetish Films, Jasmine and I had connected doing fantasy flight parties all over the country. I was doing erotic touch massages. Jazz was doing like teaching pole dancing and introducing women to different sex toys and things like that. And people kept asking, because I had taken a hiatus from being on camera, just like, when are y'all gonna make some films or do some porn? Because all the representation that we see, because our primary audience was you know, bachelorette parties, birthday parties, things like that. So primarily it was Black women between the ages of 25 and 45.
Yeah.
And they would say, like, we don't see anyone who looks like us or has our sexual sensibilities on film. You know, it's like if it's Black folk on film, it's always like something super stereotypical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The production value isn't as good, or at least the performers don't have any well-roundedness about them.
Yeah. Right. Or it's just problematic.
Yeah. It's just like super racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we were just like, let's see what we can do. And Jasmine had never been on film for porn, you know? Oh, so the first thing we shot was something that was just for us. We had a sub film it, and the sub was actually really, really good with the camera. So it came out really beautiful. So Jasmine was just like, oh,
yeah,
this is popping. I'm with it. Let's do something. And then the first year we were at FetCon as, you know, showing our business, we actually filmed something there, had another sub film us. And then the next year we entered it and it actually won. It was Orally Yours and it won for best full length feature film.
Oh, wow.
And then we were like, oh, shit, we really need to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of how it started. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wow. Amazing. So you're in quarantine, as we all are.
Yes. Yes,
how has, like, making content changed for you?
Oh, man. So usually I'm on the road.
Yeah.
Or we're on the road.
Traveling,
and we get to
yeah.
do a lot of filming while we're on the road. But, mm-hmm. At home, it's different because we have three kids.
Right.
So, you know, we have worked out with grandma
uh-huh.
to have the kids
yeah.
when we have to really film, because we actually have filmed for some other companies and then we've also filmed for ourselves.
Right.
So it's just been like the juggling act of being sex workers and sex positive parents and mm-hmm. a family unit. So it's been really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, how can we make this room look a little different?
And, you know, so actually, we're not just shooting the same room. Yeah, in our bedroom yeah. over and over again. Yeah.
We have a room that we're gonna kind of set up. I got some plans to flip around the whole room in the house. So,
oh, there yeah, we go.
Get some stuff in.
Keeping things spicy in your home space too. It's very yes, important yes. for a relationship.
Absolutely.
Converting the dining room to a yeah. sex dungeon. Like, we all got to get creative in quarantine right. times.
See, the thing for us is it has to be a room that we can close off. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, the dining room sounds dope, but that's too yeah. that's too out and open.
Yeah,
everybody.
No, I you know yeah, mean? That was like, purposely like, I imagine it'd be a lot to like get right. the kids out of there and then like eat there later.
Oh man.
What is that like parenting children as like, you know, sex workers and like sex positive people? Like, is it, I mean, you have two older kids, right?
Yeah, we have a 19, 16 and a 2-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So we yeah. have the full gambit,
yeah.
which is, I personally, I think it's awesome within the sense of, you know, our two girls are the older kids, so yeah. you know, they're coming into their own.
Yeah.
You know, so they have certain questions. They know what we do. We yeah. we speak about everything age appropriately.
That's
you
amazing. Know, yeah.
It's not like we throw our work in their face or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like with you have to have those conversations. Like, hey, block my account on Twitter or Snapchat or
sure.
whatever. But yeah. It's also really interesting because, you know, especially people always ask me as the father, they're like, oh, well, what if your girls get into porn or something like that? Which I'm like, you know, to me, it's like when they're adults, they make adult decisions for themselves.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, and exactly. hopefully they will learn from my mistakes. Mm. If they choose to be in it and do better than I have, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. we'll have the discussion of how to not be in the same spaces at the
yeah,
same time
sure.
to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But, you know, both of them are not interested in that way.
Yeah.
You know, and then so then people say, oh, well, what about your son? I'm like, he's two. I'm not really yeah. concerned about that right now.
Yeah. We'll get there.
but I think it's interesting because, you know, most people for their kids, they just want better for their kids.
Yeah.
Regardless of what
whatever
profession
career,
they
yeah.
go into. And I think that people try to pigeonhole sex work because they themselves are not comfortable with sex. And then mm-hmm. also leads to them obviously not being comfortable with sex work. And it's like, I don't want my kids to be in any profession that they're not happy. I don't want yeah. them to be in any profession that they can't provide for themselves
right.
and they can't recognize themselves as full individuals. So regardless of what profession that is, I want the best for them.
Yeah.
Period. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And that question that you said someone or people have posed of like, what about your, if your daughters get into porn, it implies that you're unhappy in your life.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And it implies that there's no possibility of sex work being gratifying. So it's reductive to begin with.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Those people don't understand. So.
Yeah. Would you, before we get into the wax play of it all, would you briefly like to talk about the BIPOC collective that you're a part of?
Yes. So, as everything in this country is kind of built on
you can
racism.
Call it a white supremacist patriarchy.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. It's all fair game. Yeah.
No, it's all good. I'm not even worried about that. I'm just, you know, everything in this society is built on racism, sexism, classism, all these horrible isms. Porn has been for a very long time making bank off of being extremely racist, and companies have built themselves off of racist stereotypes and tropes and things of that nature. So we put together a collective where we are trying to change the paradigm, shift the paradigm, and make sure that people get equal pay, make sure that people are properly represented. And that means, you know, it's the BIPOC collective, it's Black and Indigenous People of Colors collective. And we're here to make sure that all people of color are represented. That's LGBTQ, that's everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely if you have time, check us out. We do have a list of companies, because you guys did mention ethical porn in the beginning. So, you know, we do have a list of companies that we're compiling and providers and content creators that people can find that are not only ethical, but people of color, and making sure that everybody gets their everything. So
incredible.
Definitely check that out.
Honestly, thank you for that.
Yes.
Because we have sort of positioned ourselves as wanting to elevate ethical porn. So the fact that you are putting together lists and platforms on your own is tremendously helpful to us and to our listeners that want to watch this kind of stuff.
Right.
And want to invest in and support this kind of work. So amazing. Yeah. And
thank you. And you guys, y'all post, you know, pay for your porn and all that stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you put your money where your mouth is, and that means a lot.
Of course. Least we can do.
Yeah.
Come on. Least you can do is pay for your goddamn porn, guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Good Lord.
If we all have a Netflix subscription, we can, you know, we can pack
especially
a couple
now,
on top of that.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we're specifically talking about wax play.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could talk forever about all kinds of BDSM stuff, but
me
this
too.
Is sort of a subsection of that world. Would you say that there's a specific moment you got into it, or this just kind of is something that finds its way into some of your work the way that the BDSM world is vast?
Yes, yes, it is.
I've been in the wax play since I was a teenager.
Oh,
wow.
Like I've always enjoyed the sting of wax on myself and enjoyed introducing it to other people.
Yeah.
When I used to dance at parties, I used to have a climax show where I would like drip wax all over my body, all over like my shaft, and then cum for people.
Yeah.
fling wax and cum all over the place. It was crazy. So like I have a special, special place in my heart for wax play.
Yeah. Very nice.
What is it like, you mentioned like the sting of it on your skin. Like I feel like there's like a pleasure pain, you know, it lives on the pleasure pain concept. And that's why it's appealing, I think.
Absolutely. Especially like different parts of your body, you're going to feel a different level of sting, a different sensation.
Right.
You know, how high you raise the wax, how close it is to the body. That drip is going to have a little bit of different heat to it.
Yeah.
So there's so many different ways to freak it. I love it.
And also like different types of candles, right? Like there are specific candles that like you can't use. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I'm glad I read this now.
Yeah, the way I researched for this episode, I'm usually the one who like nerds out on the psychology of why specific kinks might be the case with some people. And in this one, I was like, well, listen, this sort of fits into the realm of stuff we've talked about before.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't know anything about like avoiding. I'm actually going to drop some of this and feel free to jump in with what you know, but I read that paraffin and beeswax burn hottest, so that's not a great place to start.
Yeah.
But there are actually like candles designed for wax play that are, I think, most often made with soy that melts the lower temperature. And it also recommended, you were talking about like different distances, it recommended starting at like, well, this was from our good friends at Metro UK. So they said 30 centimeters, which I figured out is 11 inches.
About a foot. You know,
yeah.
Roughly. Yeah.
No, get your ruler out. It's 11 inches.
Okay. And that's where you start.
I'm ruining it with precision. Is that, are there other like pointers or things you've learned in your years of wax play?
Well, I would definitely say you hit the nail on the head. Like, definitely, if you've never tried it before, start with the candles that turn into massage oil.
Oh,
because
okay.
There's a warmth to it. It's relaxing. Because some people, they'll freak out.
Right.
Definitely never use tea light candles.
Okay. Mm. Good to
because
know.
Because they burn so hot with that metal that you won't be able to control how much you pour because you're burning your hands at the same time.
Right.
So, you know.
Scary.
Definitely try not to use your religious candles. Not because there's anything wrong with you incorporating religious play into everything, but... Because
you'll go to hell.
Well, no, you're fine. You won't go
That's
to hell.
That's why you don't do it.
But, like, you know, same kind of thing. Like, the glass burns really hot.
Right.
And also, it's tough to control a certain amount of pour. So, like, if you are going to use, like, beeswax or the paraffin candles, mm-hmm. like, the long sticks are good because you can really control it. You can hold it high and all of that. You're not going to burn anybody.
That makes sense.
It was interesting when I was researching this topic to hear people talk about how, like, actually, like, the taking off of the dried wax is also a part of it, too. Can be, like, very, like, satisfying. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I remember, like, when I was young and I'd, like, stick my fingers in, like, my mom's Yankee candle, you know, like, when I was, like, she'd be like, you're ruining the candle. And I was like, but it's so satisfying for it to, like, dry on my fingertip.
Peel it off.
And peel it off, you know.
That's Jasmine's favorite part.
To peel it off?
Yeah, she loves to peel it off.
Yeah. Someone also said that, like, the layering of the wax on, like, people who are really into, like, being just, like, fully covered in wax, it's like... You know, it's almost like a satisfying, like, enveloping, like, feeling to be kind of, like, cuddled by this wax. And it's, like, a slow meditative process. I was like, wow.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
That sounds sexy.
Very interesting. Before this episode, all I could think about was, like, Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca, that music video where, like, some wax gets poured on his chest. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm into wax play. I remember that.
Yeah, it's such a... There's so much more that you can do with it than I think what we just think of just, like, dripping it on at the, like, start of a session or, like, someone's tied up and having it dripped on them. Like, there's more to it than just that.
Right.
And we'll talk about your video in a bit, but I really enjoyed the way that the wax play was incorporated in that video in particular. We'll talk about it after the break, but
Sure. Just totally.
A little tease.
Yeah.
I actually like cutting it off, like incorporating knife play.
Oh.
And like, there's like just, it's so close to the skin, you know, and you're like lifting it off the skin with the knife so they get like a nice little brush of the knife, but nothing that's going to cut them. Like, and it requires you to be so, so focused.
Right.
Oh, wow.
A lot of trust there. I mean, anytime, obviously, like, wax can be dangerous because you can set things on fire or, like, you can cause burns on your body. Like, it requires a lot of trust and in between. And also always, whenever we're talking about BDSM, operating under, like, safe, sane, consensual, everybody, and communicate, all you listeners out there who think that it's, you know,
who might
get a little light, kinky idea from this episode. Gotta do our part. Be safe, you know.
Any other, like, general things you love about it or just advice for anyone who wants to get into wax play?
If you have someone who's a little, like, I want to try it, but I'm nervous about getting burned, don't jump straight for somebody's back or nipples, or because that's what people usually think to go first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I always tell people to start with the hand.
Okay.
Because, like, the palm of your hand and the back of your hand are both very different in the sensation that you're going to feel from that wax.
Mm.
So learning from, like, okay, I like it on the palm of my hand, but I don't like it on the back of my hand. That'll kind of let you know what parts of your body are going to be okay with it or not, you know,
because
just think of, like, the sensitivity of your skin and different parts of it. Right. So now, you know, like, okay, well, I'm not going to put it all over my body, but maybe the bottoms of my feet, because they're used to, you know, a lot of traction and all that. I'm not going to say that people got, you know, calluses and all that, but if you do, it makes the wax a little bit less problematic, right? But so like that's a good place to try. Also, you can incorporate other temperature play with it to help ease the sting. So blowing on somebody using some ice cubes or even having somebody in cold water and then dropping hot wax on them. Like there's so many different ways to use it. Don't get caught up in only trying one way. Just try to find which way works for you and how your body adjusts to it.
Temperature play is something I never even think about, you know, or like consider in my own sex life, which I'm now realizing is what a disappointment.
Missed opportunity.
Like, am I vanilla because I've never done any temperature play? I don't know, maybe. God, wow. Add that to my list of things to do before quarantine is over, I guess.
There you go. That's what quarantine is. I mean, I also think a lot of times people think that they could only enjoy wax with another person. You know, you can try it on yourself, you know, and enhance your self-love and your masturbation time with some wax play as well. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Now I know what to buy on Amazon after this.
There you go.
Or somewhere else, not from Amazon, but, you know, some tapered BDSM candles.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Definitely ready. Well, before we take a break, I want to give you an opportunity to plug anything you want to, King.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about any of your like products or anything you're rolling out right now?
Yeah. Speaking of buying things.
Yes. Literally.
Get your credit cards out.
Come on.
Yes. Literally plug yourself with me.
Yes.
I am the plug. I have my own dildo mold that is... In conjunction with Lust Arts, which is a company that makes bodily and environmentally safe dildos. So you can fuck me and feel good about the environment. So it's really important.
Win-win.
Two for one.
Yes. And they range. So like we have some that are like perfectly matched to like the coloration of my body.
Oh, wow.
Or you could get them in all kinds of fun flavors, like, you know, like Please Me Pink and Unicorn and all these other amazing colors. So definitely check out lustarts.com or just check out kingnoir.com and find all the links so you can, you know, fuck yourself in a good way with me.
On that note,
I have to take a break now.
After that line,
we'll take a quick little break so that Rachel and I can each take a cold shower. Speaking of temperature play, and we'll be right back.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Welcome back. We need to take a quick little break so that I could move my legs around. I literally had to crawl out of my closet because my whole right leg is
Remember when we used to record in a studio, like, before quarantine?
Feels like decades ago.
Yeah, now I'm sweating underneath, like, a stinky, like, sheet that I've... fart blanket. Like, it's just terrible. Anyways.
Yeah, King, someday we'll have you back when things are
normal,
you know, when the world is COVID-free.
And you'll be way more impressed.
Yeah, we'll get you, like, a nice seltzer water in our studio.
Yeah.
It's very schmancy.
I was hoping you weren't inviting me to be under the fart blanket.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not one of my fetishes, but, you know, I'm not kink-shaming at all.
Awesome. So first, we're going to talk about one of your videos.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
It's called Kinky XX Xmas at Sweet Cookie.
Yes.
Featuring you and Redhead Barbie.
What a vid. Wow.
Yes.
Just from, like, the thumbnail, I was like, what is going to happen here? there are some pretty advanced pyrotechnics, I have to say.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yes. I mean,
the first note I have to myself is, holy shit, we're kicking off with a blowtorch. So, like, basically the setup is Redhead Barbie calls you and is like, come over, I have a surprise. And we're at Sweet Cookie, which is like a...
Yes, actually, that is an actual business in Miami.
Oh.
So shout out to Sweet Cookie. They make Cookie Wash, which is a... vaginal wash.
And
they also do...
I thought it was like a bakery. I was like, we're just...
Nah,
like,
no,
I was
like, that would have been cool too. But they also do like yoni steamings there and all that. It's a really dope spot. And I know the owner and I was like, hey, you have a really cool location. Would you mind letting us shoot there? And she was like, hey, as long as you shout out the spot, go right ahead.
Amazing.
Also, I was curious. I was like, is this actually like a business? or was it like a set? That's awesome. Yeah. I knew nothing about Sweet Cookies. So there's your shout out. So Redhead Barbie calls you and is like, come over, I have a surprise.
And boy, does
she walk in and she lights a candle, puts it in her, speaking of yonis, and then uses like aerosol, I assume, like something, a flammable spray to create like a blowtorch between her legs.
Yes.
It was impressive, and I wanted to be like, don't try this at home, kids.
Talk me through like how, like, have you guys ever done that before? Was that like your idea?
Well, so that Redhead Barbie does freak show performances, and that's one of her, like, one of her moves.
Yeah.
And when we were connected through Suave, shout out, Jasmine and I were looking through her stuff, and Jasmine was like, whatever you do, she has to do the blowtorch. Like, whatever else you do is on y'all, but I need to see that. So incorporate that into the scene. So that was kind of how we came up with, you're going to call me to your job, birthday surprise, blow out the candle. But also, that was the funny thing, because when we got there, we were like, you know, checking everything in the Sweet Cookie spot. Like, we just want to make sure that we don't make your sprinkler system go off.
Oh, sure.
And they were like, wait, okay, what? Like, you shooting a porn or?
Yeah,
that would be very tough to explain to the fire marshal.
Well, she had a
Barbie
candle in her pussy. And then... We'll send you the video. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Give you a free membership to the website if you don't lock us all up.
So needless to say, that was incredibly impressive. Almost as impressive as your tongue work when you went down on her. I was like, wow.
That's my favorite part.
Really, really hot.
Yeah.
I also just love seeing like a masculine man. Like, the first thing that happens is like, we get cunnilingus, you know? Like, yeah. That's what I'm looking for when I watch porn.
And a goodly amount. Like,
yes.
As much as some porns will kick off with, like, I went down on her. It feels like it's on, like, a checklist and you get, like, 3 minutes.
Exactly.
Most, like, at most. So it was kind of amazing, like, how much we got there. And
came back to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I personally, I love to eat pussy. Nothing turns me on more.
Yeah, and so. We can tell when we watch it, which, again, is, like, very exciting and hot.
Yeah.
There was just, like watching someone, like, suck on a labia. I was, like, I feel like that, I don't see that enough, you know?
Yeah.
That move was really hot to me.
I think it's something that, you know, obviously is incorporated in a scene, but it's something that I enjoy doing and something that we do hear from a lot of women, like, what the hell is wrong with men? You know, they skip it. And a lot of people skip it because of what they've seen in porn, where it's kind of like, and then.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. The and run. Is exactly.
And trying to stick it in or something like that. And not actually having any kind of dedication to a woman's pleasure and actually honoring and, you know, worshiping
a woman's
body and a woman's pleasure. So, you know, that's something we always want in many different ways. You know, there are some women who aren't as into being pleased orally. They're into being pleased other ways. So it's really just about trying to show men, like, yo, you can do this. It's okay. Like, enjoy yourself. There's so many reasons to enjoy pleasing your partner.
Yeah.
And I think Barbie, she shows it through her body. Like, the way she receives me after that is like evident to why you should be focused on your partner's pleasure.
Right. And 100%. Also the communication between you two also I thought was really great. Mm-hmm. Like, her being like, being like, yes, like, right there. She, like, really fights for her orgasm too, which
for sure.
You know, like, she was like, it's close, you know?
And she squirts.
Liked. Yeah.
Not to mention, like, her pleasure. I think that's also, like, a big part of her performance style and her pleasure is, like, that she's known as a squirter, too.
For sure.
Yeah. And then she goes down on you, and then we have some fucking standing 69 just
Holy
showing
shit.
Off.
I know. I was like, okay. Like, the athleticism.
Giving us all the moves.
Well, also, like, her showing off, because I was like, when she went down on you, I was like, where is that going to go? Like, Jesus, King. Like, I was like, where is that going to fit? I'm like, I'm ready to be, you know, impressed. And it was impressive.
That was our first time working together.
And oh, really?
Like this really funny outtake from that scene that was actually filmed by sex therapist Jen. So I got all the shout outs today.
I didn't notice everybody. That. I was like, camera was like sex therapist Jen. And I was like, I need to know about sex therapist Jen.
Okay, so sex therapist Jen is a friend of mine. And she is a sex therapist. She was at the time living in Miami. And I used to stay with her and her roommate when I would be filming in Miami. And she would always ask, like, so what'd you shoot today? Or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, come on, you're a sex therapist. You need to just, like, come on set. And she's like, I don't know. I was like, you know what? Jasmine and I really like putting the camera in the hands of women because so much porn is shot by men, usually like cis-identifying men who don't really give a shit about the people they're shooting. They're just trying to bang out, for lack of a better term, as much content as they possibly can or whatever the script is. And they miss out on a lot of things. So, you know, you see things from the same angles all the time or all these different things. So we were like, you know, with certain people, we'll ask women or trans women or trans people just like, yo, would you want to hold a camera?
Yeah.
You know, and we'll direct you on how to use it or whatever. So This was sex therapist Jen's first time on a porn set and holding a camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, I edited everything, but I was like, you know, just go where you want to go, where you're comfortable. And it's funny because she was like, yo, I've never seen somebody squirt like that in person before. So she was like coming in like.
Yeah. We got some splashback on the camera, baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Splash zone.
Yeah.
So I think that like that part, and also she and Barbie got on set before I did because I had to pick up a couple things. Mm. So since Jen knew me, you know, she was having this conversation about Barbie with Barbie about me before I got there.
Yeah.
And so like there's this part, it's not in the film, it's in like on my OnlyFans or whatever, where Barbie reaches in my pants and she's like, hold up.
Yeah, like
she and Jen was like, wait,
what
you didn't do your
did
research.
I get myself into?
So it was super funny because she's like really animated. And I think that like that really added to our chemistry.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was kind of like, we were both, you know, surprised, but also at the same time attracted to each other. Like it really comes across that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It feels really, like, playful and fun. Like, you can't necessarily tell it's your first time together, but, like, it does feel like there's an element of, like, discovery there that's that's great. Like, you guys have great chemistry, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved, like, also how it wasn't just, like, rough the whole time. There was also, like, really a lot of moments of, like, slow and sensual. That, again, it's, like, sometimes... You know, it can, if it's just one or the other, it's like, okay, let's mix this up a little bit. But I felt like it was very varied, which I loved.
Yeah. This is another shout out to Sweet Cookie, but I loved the sign that, like, on the floor at one point, like, got in the shot that said fresh, wet cookies. That should have been the clue that this is a different kind of cookie place, because I was like, fresh, wet cookies. I was like, did they change the sign?
Yeah.
Like, I thought you guys had done that on purpose, but I imagine that's just part of the setup there. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, the whole spot is just like, mostly because it wound up being Kinky Christmas just because they had this whole, you know, Christmas setup with the Christmas tree in the background. So it was just like the whole look of it was just like, yo, this, I don't know why, but this just works.
Yeah.
It's working.
Because it was such like a random location.
And it's great. I mean, as much as it's not relevant right now and August when this episode will come out, it's great because we found with our holiday episode there is a lack of good Christmas content. Yeah. So we good. This
we'll sort. All of our listeners can circle back to this in December.
Yeah.
Or you could have your Christmas in the summertime too. There's never a bad time for presents or fresh wet cookies.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. There was also a dynamic in your interaction with Barbie that, like, I almost want to say it felt like a healthy competition. Like, in the way, like, I think I noticed this particularly when you were doing Standing 69 and a little bit when you were fucking, but that, like, both of you were, like, really interested in the other person's pleasure, and there was a playfulness to that that I think I could, like, relate to in interactions I've had that makes it just really fun that, like, it's like a race to get the other one off almost.
Right.
To be like, no, I'm going to focus on, no, it's your turn. Oh, we're doing you now. Like, there's something, there was a little bit of that to it. That,
there was a moment where she, like, ran, Marla was like, not even, like, ran away, but you were like, why are you running away? Like, if you want this dick, why are you running away? I loved that.
Yeah, I think there's, like, just like you said, with, like, the Stand in 69, or even when she first went down on me and she was on her knees, like, I could tell she was, like, I think it was also kind of like, oh, you ate my pussy like that? Well, I'm about to say it like this. Like,
yeah,
I was like, okay, got you. So I think, like, throughout everything, like, from that point, because I think, like, for me, I was turned on by seeing her flamethrower trick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never seen somebody with a flamethrower out their vagina before. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You deserve all the orgasms. Like, you deserve all the rewards for that. Like, that was amazing. So, you know, also, like, how she even had to set up for that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like watching somebody that is really talented with their craft is a turn on for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, let's get it.
And then, so you guys fuck in different positions, sort of on this, like, mirrored, like, glass table.
That's somebody's desk. That's somebody at Sweet Cookie's desk.
Uh-oh.
The pro there is, like, easy to clean, though. You can just wipe that down.
Just Windex it down. I'm sure cleanup is something that you have to think of when you're, you know, incorporating wax play. So
yeah, and that is where the wax play comes in that I was sort of referencing earlier. So like you've been fucking for a minute, and then you incorporate the wax play on her back
when you guys.
And I was like,
doggy.
Oh, that's so cool because in doggy style. Yeah, we think about like wax. I always envision, particularly in porn. It's like someone's tied up and we do some like teasing and then we kind of like forget about the wax and then sex happens.
Yeah.
But I love that it came into play here because it almost like I was like, they've got to be like worn out from fucking and there's got to be almost like a stimulus overload happening. And then we incorporate the like pleasure pain dynamic of like the sting of the wax on her back and like
and her ass.
Bringing that in while we like slow down the sex part of it a little bit. And I thought that was really lovely. Like just thinking about that, incorporating it that way, I was like, oh, this
it revives
is a revelation.
Them. Yeah. It revives them. And it made sense to me because it was like, you know, I feel like wax play on an ass makes a lot of sense because I personally love spanking. And so like the stinging of it on someone's behind is like, oh, like that gives you the same sort of sensation. It was really hot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also like we've been warmed up at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the more your body is warmed up, the more you can take in regards to pleasure and pain, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was kind of like we've got, like you said, like a buildup. So now when you incorporate it, it's not going to have the same feel as if we just started and it's like, ah, here's some wax on you real quick. You know, so, you know, especially at that point, we've been sweating. We were all covered in Barbie juice. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, the wax was also kind of like it does add. And since she used it for the flamethrower, it was just there. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's bring it back in.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, and now we'll pause production to get a candle involved. It was like, it just felt like this is naturally part of the environment and what's available.
Yeah, for sure.
Really hot video.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Loved all the save at that.
Loved all the clit stimulation.
I think consistently throughout
the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, I love to see anyone get like their clit slapped. So that was exciting for me.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I love it. Like a reach around in, you know, doggy with like a little slap on the clit is just sends me over the edge.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Love it.
Bon appetit.
Awesome. All right. Should we, anything else to say about that one or shall we move on to sky sugaring?
Definitely. We wound up, because of that scene, shooting a whole bunch of sequels. So definitely check out some more of our content together.
Yeah. And I love the dynamic, like physically between you two, like, you know, I liked that she was smaller and you could like move her around easily. You know, I'm not like a big person, but I like the concept of being tossed around, you
nice.
Know?
Yeah. She's very petite, but it also like doesn't feel like the way it feels in some porns where there's like
you're a prop.
Big disparity in like size between performers. Like it didn't feel like she was a victim, I guess I'll say. Like it didn't feel like she was being like tossed around too much or like ripped around.
No.
It didn't feel unsafe. Like there are plenty of times where she'd like pause and kind of like push you away.
Yeah.
Like it was clear that she had like agency and control in the situation.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And she also has a really strong personality that I think comes out throughout where it's not, just as you said, like, you know that if there is a problem, she gonna speak up about it, you know? So, And I think just, you know, that it was said that, you know, we're a couple in this situation. We're here for mutual pleasure. Mm-hmm. And that's what we was working towards.
Right.
Really beautiful. Yeah. Really fucking awesome video. Thanks for sharing it
awesome.
With us.
Thank you.
You can find it at kingnoirxxx.com.
Yes, you can.
And let's move on.
So this video was given to us, the same fan who sent us the video that we talked about for water sports actually sent us this video. And when we got it, I was like, wow, this is gold. I have to use this at some point. Like, when are we ever going to get a chance to talk about it? So it's, we are using it for this episode. It is a different type of wax
play. Does this count as wax play?
Yeah. But yeah, so it's this guy is like famous on TikTok, I guess, or has like a following on TikTok, Sky Sugaring. And he's very funny. And I guess, you know, this fan was like, I think maybe there's something else like sexual happening here. And they went on Pornhub and found that, he's got a Pornhub page.
Yeah. So the video is called Fat Cock Tattooed Straight Guy Brazilian Bikini Waxing. I found him at the pool. Smiley face. and Sky Sugaring is, I'm just going to read Sky Sugaring's little bio from Pornhub. Yeah. I am a sweet, cute Asian femboy looking to sugar wax you. I exchange service for videotaping for my social media channels. Contact me if you're in San Diego and I would like to collaborate. Thank you and have a sweet day. Because my first question about this was like consent.
Like, yeah,
I was like
where are
people
we?
People in these videos like know what's happening. Yeah. And it's pretty clear they do because like.
Well, he's hard. Like, so.
Yeah, he gets hard a little bit in this, but also like it's just talked about like as the like our host of Sky Sugary is like talking about the video and like techniques and camera angles and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's pretty clear everybody like knows what's going on.
Yeah, but it's basically it's an instructional video with like some kinky undertones and like how to sugar.
Well, it's a little bit of everything, right? Yeah, like it's a little bit instructional and it's a little bit like this person's actually getting their crotch sugared, like they're actually getting a Brazilian.
Yeah.
And then it's a little bit of like dubious consent.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like how it feels.
Yeah.
King, you mentioned before we started recording that this was slightly triggering to you. So let's open up that part because I want to make sure we didn't harm you in sending you this link.
No, you didn't. You didn't harm me at all. It was just so like when I used to dance and do like cum shows at parties and stuff, I had to learn manscaping.
Yeah.
And no one ever taught me that. So I had to have some trial and error in my manscaping journey. Uh-huh. And I actually did have a friend and she used to come over and would actually wax me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that shit was like the first time I definitely had that like 40-year-old virgin effect where like, you know, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, like cursing
Kelly
out.
Clarkson.
Yeah, cursing out Kelly Clarkson. You know, so it was that part because like, you know, I didn't know what y'all were gonna send. So when I'm like, okay, where's this gonna go? Oh you know, that part. Oh. But I thought overall, like, you know, I figured if it's up, it's there, it's consensual, it's not, it would be hard to set up a camera POV style on somebody and them not know, just hopefully they know that it's on the internet right now, you know what I'm saying? But I think, like, people have, when it comes to fetish, some people's fetishes are so intricate and specific that the first thing that I was thinking of this is like, wow, I wonder how many people this like unlocked their kink.
Yeah.
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 On to be able to find it and watch it, you know, because like for me with my friend that used to, when she used to wax me, like at the end sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
She would
she'd finish you off.
Yeah, because there was a part of that was a turn on for me because I do like certain levels of pain and pleasure, right?
Right.
So sometimes she'd be like, "Oh, okay, like let's get it in," you know? Mm-hmm. Other times I'd be like, "Whoa, I need ice or a fan or something." But, you know, like that aspect of it I thought was really cool because, you know, from the POV aspect and then, you know, they got the clinical gloves on for everybody who likes their latex.
Yeah.
And then the actual hand job skills were on point. Like at the end there was some kind of technique where it was like shiatsu or something like that. I was like,
yo. He had like four hands on his cock at one point.
Going in right now. So I think that overall, like, you know, POV for people who are into POV, can get, you know, monotonous. So like to see a whole different location, or, you know, to add the sugaring aspect to it, to add the latex gloves to it, I thought was like, you know, for some people, like, this is unlocking a whole fetish for them.
I mean, it's essentially like a cock and ball torture, you know, like this could be
that part.
Many things.
It feels like a gentle cock and ball torture. And like, listen, if you're in San Diego and you want someone to like adore but also sort of tease and punish your cock while sugaring you, like, this is the person for you. This, I wouldn't say that this fully unlocked like a sexual kink, but like, as someone who watches like Dr. Pimple Popper and gets like I'm into the sort of like physical fat, like, I found this video so satisfying because he would like rip the hair out and then hold it up and show us, and I was like, like, I was here for that part.
That's funny.
Because of my, like, whatever you call that, like, that sort of fascination with that aspect of it. And just truly in the satisfaction of, like, the perfectionism of, like, the way they would, like, flip and flick is, like, how it was described. Because it's sky sugaring. It's, like, him and his assistant. So we get, like, different.
I know.
That's why there's four hands.
I was wondering, like, did the assistant know, like, what they were getting into when they signed up to be an assistant.
I hope they all have their 2257s filled out. All of that important paperwork.
But I think that obviously, like, this person knew what they were getting into, who was getting waxed, because, I mean, they did have a response, you know? I have to say, as someone who does like cock and ball torture, and also like has been known to get turned on by like massage porn or like doctor porn, like, I was surprised at like how kinky and like sexy I kind of thought this was. Like, at one point when his legs were in the air, I was like, wait, what's happening? Am I turned on by this? And turns out I was.
And we're kind of leaving out, too, that, like, really the highlight of the video is the personality behind
it.
Like, making commentary throughout. Like, we have, like...
He's out of his mind.
He's, like, we
fully a personality. He, like, he needs a TV show. Like, if Dr. Pimple Popper has one, like, he needs one.
100%. Like, this particular person has, like, a tattoo of, like, a like wings.
Under his belly button.
Yeah, under his belly button. And the first thing we talk about is, like, cock wings. Because, like...
Yeah, he's like, it's so perfect.
We've got the cock, like, lined up and pointing, like, into this, like, sort of these wings. Like, which is a great point. It really just looks like the cock, like, has grown wings and can fly away. Great one-liners, like, he's got a strong butt, you guys, so it keeps fighting me, but in the end I win.
It's like, look at this hole.
Beautiful. Like, it's just like, it really is like a worship of this, like, this person's package. While also just like
torturing
being
them.
Like, pretty aggressive with like pushing the balls to the side and like ripping the hair off and like, something for everyone. Sort of what came to mind.
Right. And it's entertaining. I mean, he was like, did you guys see the fireworks last night? I went live on TikTok. I was like, I love this guy. He's like, I've touched more than 10,000 cocks. Like, how many people can say that?
There's definitely a real nice balance from all the, you know, from the verbal stimulus to the visual to, you know, just what you'll go through in your mind, like whichever position you might fantasize being in, whether you're the person that's doing the sugaring or receiving the sugaring, like you could see that this whole situation was a lot of stimulus for both parties involved. I like that aspect of it. Like, if that's your bag, like, there's a whole there's a whole different level. Like, no matter what it is, I enjoy watching people who love what they do. And it comes across in a way of, like, if you're comfortable enough to give all of that, you know, verbal performance, because that verbal is going to calm down the person that is actually receiving this pain, because you're giving them all this beautiful niceties and stuff, and then you're like, ah, let me get that, you know. So I thought that was really cool.
It was also really satisfying to see, like, visually him getting covered in oil and the hand job at the end. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, it unlocked something, like, whatever the visual thing of ASMR is. I was like, yeah, this is really satisfying, you know?
Yeah.
And the four hands, like, doing that shiatsu hand massage on his dick. I was like, I like this a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was satisfying, too, to, like, have gone through, like, pulling out all this hair and the powdering and the, like, the gloves, and then to get, like, the completed sensation of, like,
yeah,
now we're just gonna massage him. And
some,
like,
aftercare, if you will.
Yeah,
you
know? I fully was like, I wanna get waxed by this dude. Like,
yeah.
This looks so much more appealing than, like, we're both unhappy to be here.
Yeah.
Like, which is how most, like, waxing or sugaring sessions sort of feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, what I get when I go see Anya at Freckle in Brooklyn. Where she's like, oh, you shaved, I see. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, this is for me.
It's thoroughly entertaining.
I'm on board.
I don't know if I would masturbate to it, but, like, it definitely unlocked something that goes, whatever it is inside me that likes cock and ball torture. I was like, yeah, okay, I like this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a slightly different, like, part of my brain, but there's, like, a Venn diagram there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily watch this to masturbate, but I would watch it again.
And yeah.
Even was like, I don't know, maybe this is something that someday I could play with a partner.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm absolutely masturbating to Kinky XXXmas. That goes without saying. That's going in the bank for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. There. The whole King Noir canon is definitely
is in there.
Has been in and will stay in the canon for sure.
Thank you, bro. And I am always down to come and build with y'all and talk about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And for all of our listeners, do you want to give them a heads up about where they can find your stuff?
Sure, you can find me on royalfetishxxx.com, kingnoirxxx.com, onlyfans.com/kingnoir, and social media, The Real King Noir on Instagram, @kingnoir on Twitter. I'm shadow banned and a motherfucker, so you gotta find me through, like, hashtags and stuff, but, you know, that's KINGNOIRE.
Well, you know, subscribe to his OnlyFans. It will not disappoint.
Oh, yeah, my OnlyFans is super lit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. We love
having
you. Thank
you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram @girlsonpern. That's porn without the O for aforementioned reasons. You can also find us on Twitter @GOPthePodcast and at our website, girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already.
And if you give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, feel free to tag your Instagram and we'll shout you out on ours, expressing our abundant gratitude.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.